Assalamu alaikum and welcome to the Islamic Pulse talk show. We are talking about the holy month of Ramadan and Laylatul Qadr.
Mohar Ramadan forsat khayli khubi ast. Albatte forsat tabligh ast, forsat tabyin ast. Na, lakin az hame ina balatar forsat ta'abbud, forsat taqarrub.
Assalamu alaikum and welcome to the Islamic Pulse talk show. We are talking about the holy month of Ramadan and specifically the nights of Qadr, the nights of power, Laylatul Qadr. In order to talk a little bit about this, we decided to humbly invite Sheikh Abdul Majid. We invite him and start the talk show. Assalamu alaikum, Sheikh Abdul Majid, and welcome to the Islamic Pulse talk show.
Wa alaikum assalam wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh. It's my pleasure.
Jazakallah, thank you so much for taking time out, coming and joining us on the talk show. You know, we are in the holy month of Ramadan, the holiest of holy months. In the Islamic lunar calendar. We are coming up very quickly on the nights of Qadr, and so we wanted to kind of talk a little bit about the nights of Qadr, Laylatul Qadr, and so we decided to invite you. We hand it over to you in the name of Allah.
A'udhu billahi minash shaitanir rajim, bismillahir rahmanir rahim. Allahumma salli ala Muhammadin wa ala Muhammad wa ajjan farajahu sharif. Firstly, it's my pleasure to be here.
Jazakallah, thank you.
And secondly, the night of Qadr, Laylatul Qadr. We have much to say about the Laylatul Qadr, but firstly, right. Let's look at what is Laylatul Qadr.
Sure.
Why is the night called Laylatul Qadr? Mm. Though there are two main views concerning the reason why the night is called Laylatul Qadr.
Yes.
A particular view is of the opinion that the night is called Laylatul Qadr because Al-Qadr from this Laylatul Qadr is derived from the word Muqaddar. That is to mean. In this night, the fate, the destiny, and the fate and destiny of humankind will be decided and determined on this night. While we have another opinion that the night is called Laylatul Qadr, because the word Qadr is from the word Al-Qadr, which means power, which means honor, which means value. That it is a night of power and a night of honor and value.
Interesting.
Whatever the case might be, what is important is that this night is exceptional. It's not like other nights. It's very different. And in Surah Al-Qadr, it is said that Inna anzalnahu fi laylatul qadr, wa ma adraka ma laylatul qadr. Scholars are of the opinion that this night is so much important and so much of honor and full of value that even it was conceived from the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, reason God until that day that this verse was revealed to the Prophet. The Prophet himself didn't know the Laylatul Qadr. The reason why the question was posed to him that wama adraka ma laylatul qadr, laylatul qadr khayrun min alf shahr, that the night of Qadr is more important, is better than
a thousand months.
That is to mean we have like more than 80 years. So a night is more important, is more of value and honor than
80 years
or more than 80 years. And what do we mean by it is of value and more of honor than 80 years? It means that whatever you might have achieved, whatever blessings, whatever honor, whatever reward you might have achieved during the period of 80 years, you can achieve it in this night.
In this one night. And it's really amazing.
Yeah. At a point, the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam was emphasizing on the importance of this Laylatul Qadr. And he told the companions that, why did God choose this night and give this night this importance and honor? There was a man from Bani Israel, who devoted 80 years of his life in the cause of God, fighting jihad, defending the religion. And when the Prophet ﷺ narrated the history of this man to the companions, they were surprised. They wished to be like the man. They wished to have similar reward like the man. Then the verse was revealed, and the Prophet ﷺ told them that you didn't need to fight or to devote 80 years for you to be like the man. There is a night, a particular night, that you can achieve whatever the man had achieved during the period of 80 years.
Right.
And another verse again says that there are four four persons from the Bani Israel, they devoted themselves to God and they never committed any sin. Then when the Prophet Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam finished telling the companions about the men, they wished to be like the men. They wished they could have similar reward. Then the Prophet Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam told them that in this night, you can have similar reward, even better than them. And there is a particular thing we need to consider when we talk about the Laylatul Qadr. Right. More often, we say that Laylatul Qadr, the reward in Laylatul Qadr, or the blessing in Laylatul Qadr, is similar to the blessings and reward in 80 years or 1,000 months.
Sure.
But the verse says, خَيْرٌ مِنْ أَلْفِ الشَّهْرِ that it is more. The blessings is more than al-fishar. Reason scholars are of the opinion that khayrun here, the adad here, the number here, is not to limit it. It's not to limit it, but to indicate the that greatness. The reward is to indicate the greatness and the abundance of the reward and blessings in this Laylatul Qadr.
It's really amazing, you know. So first of all, the holy month of Ramadan itself, unfortunately, sometimes we have a tendency to not give, you know, as much attention as we should, to really take opportunities and blessings from this holy month. And sometimes people, have a tendency to do that with the nights of Qadr as well, right? Which is unfortunate because as you showed, you know, based upon the Quran and the traditions are also full of the importance of Laylatul Qadr, and to spend this night in worship and the study of Islam, if you want to comment on that.
Firstly, there is a tradition that Imam Ja'far alayhi salam said to Hamzat al-Thumali, that you should seek the night of Laylatul Qadr on the 21st night and 23rd night. You should seek the Laylatul Qadr. And you should make sure that you devote your time and you benefit from the night. And Imam Sadiq alayhi salam even advised Hamza, telling him that you should observe 100 rakat of nawafil. Hamza asked Imam Ja'far alayhi salam that, what if I cannot? What if I could not? Maybe for some reasons or I have problems. I am sick. Imam Ja'far alayhi salam said, Salli wa anta jalis. You should say the salat while you are sitting. And he said, what if I cannot even say the salat in the position of sitting? Imam Ja'far alayhi salam said to him that you should say it wa ala firashik, even when you are on your bed. This is to emphasize on the importance of this Laylatul Qadr. That even in this Surah Al-Qadr, it is said that salamun, towards the end of the surah, that it is full of salam. That is to mean this Laylatul Qadr is full of blessings. Until the following day, until the following morning. So it is a night that the angels, it is a night that even Ruh is supposed to be of higher rank, higher level than the angels. They all come down on this night. So it is exceptional night and it is very important. We cannot afford to miss it. Yes, there might be some distractions, especially when we know that we have the devil to contend with.
Yes.
We have obstacles, we have so many principalities to contend with, not only the devils, even the sin, human beings. But we need to decide and make our mind that we cannot afford to lose this night.
Yes.
Whatever might be the case, this night is very important. What are we saying? Because during the year, when we live for a particular year, we put in efforts. We struggle to survive. We have so many problems to solve. We have so many things we wish to do. And this night is enough for you to get everything done. Because it is a night that your fate, your destiny, your subsistence would be determined and will be destined in this night. So instead of you, whatever might come your way, this night is an opportunity for you to solve that problem. Instead of you to allow that problem to distract you from this night, you should take advantage of the night to solve that problem. You should add that problem to those problems that you wish God to solve, to help you to attend to.
Yeah, so Sheikh, here, for example, I know if you want to talk a little bit about this idea that, we have in our traditions that the 19th, the 21st, and the 23rd, as you also brought up, the 24th, the 21st and the 23rd of the holy month of Ramadan. But in the traditions of the Ahlul Sunnah brothers, I believe the dates are a little bit different. If you'd like to speak a little bit about that.
The exact day of Laylatul Qadr, we have different opinions, scholars of different, and those opinions are not formed on personal views.
Sure.
They are formed on traditions from the Imams, alayhi wasalam. We have a tradition that Laylatul Qadr is even the first day of the month of Ramadan. And we have another tradition that Laylatul Qadr is even on the 17th day of Laylatul Qadr. We have 19th day, we have 21st, we have 22nd, we have 27 until it continues.
And 23rd.
23rd. And also, the Ahli Sunnah, they have the same thing.
Yeah.
But though we have so many traditions, as I've just said it now, but we have this particular tradition that seems to be stronger than other traditions. And that is that Laylatul Qadr is 21st and 23rd.
Interesting. So,
and you should, if at all, for a reason, very important reason, you should miss other days, try not to miss the 21st and the 23rd. And it's even better if you can observe the Laylatul Qadr till the end of the last 10 days of Ramadan. Because the Prophet Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam used to devote the last 10 days of Ramadan for Laylatul Qadr.
Yeah.
To observe Laylatul Qadr, to do ibadat and engage on other acts of ibadat. So this is to us. And if at all you do not have, maybe for particular reasons, you cannot observe the last 10 of Ramadan.
Yes, the last 10 days.
The last 10 days of Ramadan, at least you shouldn't miss the 23rd. This is to according to the Shia. But according to the Ahli Sunnah, they emphasize more on the 27th of Laylatul Qadr.
Interesting.
So, for us to have that assurance that no matter how the case may be, we have benefited from Laylatul Qadr. I would advise myself and also advise other Muslims that they should devote the last 10 days of Ramadan for Laylatul Qadr.
And so, Sheikh, I think what we're kind of seeing is that, you know, when you start to devote these nights, so for example, in one tradition you have that even the first night can be the night of Laylatul Qadr, right? And then you have the 17th and the 19th and the 21st and the 23rd, and then with the Ahlul Sunnah brothers, 27, and even the last 10 nights of the holy month of Ramadan. It seems like it is a constant reminder for us to constantly pay attention to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, to constantly be in this mode of establishing a connection, a relationship, you know, talking about our problems with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And there's a lot of emphasis that's being put
there
here.
Is even a wisdom.
Yeah.
Scholars are of the opinion that why? First of all, we need to understand that the night of Laylatul Qadr, the real night of Laylatul Qadr, is not hidden from the Imams.
Sure.
Somebody asked Imam Jafar alayhi salam that, what is the night? Do you know, do you really know the night of Laylatul Qadr, the exact night of Laylatul Qadr? And Imam Jafar alayhi salam replied him saying, why shouldn't I know? While the angels and the ruh, they all come down and together we move around.
Yeah,
we don't know. We should know. But what is the wisdom behind hiding this Laylatul Qadr?
Sure.
And scholars are of the opinion that when something becomes known, and something very important becomes
apparent,
known amongst other things, people seem to forget about the other days and concentrate on that particular day. And the scholars are of the opinion that why is it that Almighty God hides the real acts of ibadah amongst Almighty God hides the real acts of ibadah in the midst of many devotions?
Yeah.
You need to observe salat, you need to observe zakat, you need to give zakat, you need to do hajj, many devotions. Why is it that Almighty God hides the worst act of or the worst sin among so many precautions? You need to pay precaution from this. You need to abstain from this. You need to abstain from this, because if Almighty God should direct us or should tell us that this particular sin is the worst, then people will engage in other sins. And if Almighty God should tell her that this particular act of ibadah is the best, people will forget, oh, this is the only act of ibadah that contains the best reward, that has the best blessings. People will forget about the other acts of ibadah. Mm. And this is the reason scholars are of the opinion that Almighty God has the month, the day, the exact day of Laylatul Qadr amongst the day of Ramadan, so that we give equal and similar importance we'll give to Laylatul Qadr to other days, because we do not know the exact day that Laylatul Qadr falls in.
Right.
So for that, we would try effort to make sure that at least we've benefited from the month of, from the day, from the night of Laylatul Qadr. Mm. And by doing so, we'll start devoting, we'll start putting more efforts and start putting efforts in acts of ibadahs and other religious duties.
Right. Sheikh, I just, one more question. I know we've taken quite a bit of your time, but this idea of on the nights of Qadr, right, what are some of the things that we should be doing? Sure, we have the 100 rakat salah, which you talked about, which you know, has such great importance that Imam Ja'far Sadiq alayhi salam, you know, he said that whether you're standing or sitting or even laying down, try to do this prayer. What are some of the other things that people can do out there on these nights of Qadr?
When we go to Mafatihu Jinan, we'll discover or see so many supplications that we are to do on the night of Qadr. And also we have so many traditions on what to do on the night of Qadr. But what is more important is that we have this word called Al-Ihya.
Al-Ihya.
So that is to mean that you should do any good act, any act of ibadat you need to do, do it on that night. Do it in that night. Even if you need to read, read your books. If you are a student, take your book, read your book in that night. Even if you need to give nasiha to people, give. You know, we cannot observe ibadat or say supplications throughout the night. So we become tired. So when you say some supplications, when you have observed some of the nawafil, you need to engage on other things also. So and engaging in other things, you could engage in nasiha. You could start to tell history. You could even gather the children. If the children wake up during the night of Qadr, you can gather them to tell them short stories.
Right.
It is. We can even discuss what is happening in the world, especially now that we have challenges in Gaza. We can discuss about it. We can share the awareness. We can discuss on what to do, how to contribute, and how to also help our brothers in Gaza. So this is called Ihya. Ihya is not just for you to read the Quran. It is not just for you to read the supplications. Ihya also includes every other acts of ibadat. Even just sitting and discussing, even putting smile in the faces of people, and also serving people also. Because in some communities, like where I come from, we do observe Laylatul Qadr in congregation. So it is good sometimes you serve others. You can prepare something meal, you can prepare even tea to give to others. You can attend to the needs of others. All of these also are counted as part of the acts of ibadat to be done during the night of Qadr.
Sheikh, you brought up really a good point. You talked about how bringing children in and you know, telling them stories, Islamic stories, right? I think this is very important. Sometimes as adults or the older generation, they have a tendency to not include the youth or the younger generation or children in a lot of these acts of worship, or you know, in the programs in the holy month of Ramadan, or in this case, the Laylatul Qadr programs, right? Sometimes people have a tendency to just kind of either isolate themselves, or on the other hand, not involve the youth and the younger generation. It's interesting, I was reading a while back about the biography of the fourth divinely appointed Imam, Imam Zainul Abidin alayhi salam. And it was interesting, in the biography it said that he would collect the children of Medina and he would encourage them to, while playing, to read the Salah together, right? So he would teach them Salah, these small children in Medina, and make it, you know, lively and exciting for them to come and learn, you know, the ritual five daily prayers. So this idea of involving the youth, bringing in the youth, because they are the next generation of Muslims, if you'd like to comment on that.
Sometimes it depends on how we view Islam. When we view Islam as a religion that is more than just individual activities, it's a religion of a community, it's a revolution.
Right.
This is Islam. It's a religion of community and it's a revolution. So when we view the Islam from this perspective, then we'll know that we have responsibility to transfer the culture to the next or to the coming generations. And the best way to transfer it to them is to get them involved.
Yes.
So when you isolate them away, and it is very easy when you isolate them away for the wrong hand to pull them towards themselves.
Exactly. Yes.
So we need to get them involved. They should know how we do it. They should know, we call sha'air. So they should know how we do our sha'air. It is not something that somebody
our
else.
Our slogans would, are sha'air.
Our slogans, right. the way we do our things. They should get, they should have direct knowledge of it. It shouldn't be something that somebody from somewhere will need to confuse them or get them confused by telling them something
astray.
Or lay them astray, telling them things that are not real. But when we get them involved, not only are we preserving the, not only are we doing the ibadat, we are also preserving ibadat. And it's also a form of tabligh.
Yes.
And also, we are also teaching them how to transfer it to the next generation after them.
Yes.
But when we start to isolate them now, we are not only isolating them, but we are also indirectly killing Islam.
Yes.
Today. And this gives me, when I traveled to Tabligh, I went to a particular community, and that community supposed to be a Shia community, but they didn't have a mosque that bring them together.
Right.
So they didn't have anything that bring them to everybody prays in his house, everybody, nothing that brings them together. Then when I went to the community, I was able to bring them together.
Mashallah.
So we were doing Dua'ul Kumay, Dua'ul Tawassul, all of that. I even organized Islamic lessons for the children.
Sure.
Then
sure.
I discovered that they are Shia children. Their parents, they are very serious Shias. But I discovered that when it was time for Salat, the children were performing the ablution, washing their legs. They were performing the ablution wrongly.
Again.
And reason be it that, because their parents never took them outside to observe the way Shia do perform their ablutions. And the only ablutions they used to observe outside is the ablutions where you wash your legs. Because they go to school, they mix with the other community, they see people washing their legs, and they think that is normal.
This is part of the.
And even when I was telling them that, no, this is not how to perform ablution, it was like I was saying something new. Where did you come with this? This is what we used to see every day. So this is the best.
Amazing.
This is the reason why we must get the youths involved. We are not only disciplining them. We are not only we are not only involving them in acts of ibadat.
Sure.
We are also transferring the culture, the teachings, and also transferring the way we do our things to them.
And
thirdly, also it is inherited. Thirdly, also we are teaching them how to transfer it to the next generation
after them. You know, I have one last question, Sheikh. And that is that. The role of dua. We talked about, you know, some of the supplications that are highly recommended to be recited in the holy month of Ramadan, especially in the nights of Qadr, the, you know, Laylatul Qadr. This role of dua in the month of Ramadan and in the nights of Qadr, but I want to kind of, well, let me put it this way. So we talked about Palestine as well, and this idea that in our prayers, in our actions, we really need to remember these brothers and sisters in Palestine, you know, suffering from, you know, these kind of genocide is really what is happening. They're being wiped off the map, you know, as it is said. But the role of dua and to not forget, you know, these brothers and sisters, and not just in Palestine, you know, that's one of the main indicators and is at the forefront, but all across the Muslim world. To remember the brothers and sisters in our du'as and in our actions.
For us to pray for our brothers, especially those that are going through trials, like our brothers and sisters in Gaza, it is not only a religious duty, neither is it only a responsibility, but it is also for our own sakes. Because we've learned from Sayyidat al-Alamin, Sayyidat Nisa al-Alamin, Sayyidat al-Zahra alayhi salam, that al-jar qabla dar. So she used to pray for her neighbors, even before she prayed for herself. And the wisdom is that whatever you give out is what you have. That you retain inside, you do not have it.
Right.
So when you want them prayers for yourself, pray for your other brothers. Pray for your sisters, especially those brothers and sisters in need. So on the month of Ramadan and the Laylatul Qadr, it shouldn't be that God, it shouldn't, the dua shouldn't be focused only on you, on your needs. You should also know that people outside there are also in needs, involve them. And most especially, the dua also shouldn't be centered on our personal interest.
Material interest,
our personal interest, car, new house, all of that. No, we have other things that are more important. When you have car, you have house, and there is no peace in the land, you never enjoy the car and the houses. Then we should also pray for the country. We should also pray for progress. We should pray for development. And also we should observe others. And also, in the month of Laylatul Qadr, our dua shouldn't be like we are kind of not directly, indirectly being racist in our dua. What I mean is that we think we are the only ones in the world suffering.
Yeah.
Others are not suffering. Or we think that, no, what they are passing through does not concern me. I am here and they are there. No, we should get ourselves involved. We should know that we are all human beings together.
Yes.
So we should also put others in our dua, especially the brothers in Gaza, because really, presently, they need our dua, and they need more than dua.
Jazakallah, thank you so much, Sheikh Abdul Majid. Very nice discussion on Laylatul Qadr. Please remember all of us and all of our viewers in your du'as on Laylatul Qadr. May Allah accept all of your du'as and your ibadat in this holy month of Ramadan, as well as these nights of Qadr, inshallah.
Likewise, my.
Jazakallah, thank you so much, dear viewers. Again, please remember all of us, including Sheikh Abdul Majid, in your du'as in this holy month of Ramadan and in these nights of Qadr, inshallah. May Allah accept all of your du'as and your worship what you desire from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Inshallah, that's all from us for now. Fi amanallah and assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullah.
Wherever you are.